Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Acharya Sutra Sutta Shishi Mahārāja's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai ISKCON BBD Founder Acharya Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupāda Acharya Sotara Sutta Shishi Mahārāja's Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Ananta Gaudi Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Śrīla Haridas Thakura Ki Jai Prem Sikaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nachananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiti Govinda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Mahadani Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtana Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 13, Text 36. Shraktunda Asit Shruva Ishanasayor. Shraktunda asit shuva ishanasayor Ido dare chamasa karna randade Ido dare chamasa karna randade Prasitramashe grasane grahastute Prasritramasye grasane grahastute Yascharvanam te bhagavan agnihotram Yascharvanam te bhagavan agnihotram Shraktunda asit shruva ishanasayor Ido dare chamasa karna randare Prasvitramashe grasane grahastute Yachcharvanam te bhagavan agnihotram
Thank you. Vaishnavis.
Shrak, the plate for sacrifice. Tunde, on the tongue. Asit, there is. Shuva, another plate for sacrifice. Isha, O Lord. Nasayo, of the nostrils. Ida, the plate for eating. Udare, in the belly. Shamasaha, another plate for sacrifices. Karnarandre, in the holes of the ears. Prasitram, the plate called the Brahma plate. Asye, in the mouth. Grasane, in the throat. Graha, the plates known as soma plates. Tu, but. Te, your. Yat, that. Sorry, that which. Charvanam, chewing. Te, your. Bhagavan, O my Lord. Agnihotram, is your eating through your sacrificial fire. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, your tongue is a plate of sacrifice. Your nostril is another plate of sacrifice. In your belly is the eating place of sacrifice. And another plate of sacrifice is the holes of your ears. In your mouth is the Brahma plate of sacrifice. Your throat is the plate of sacrifice known as soma. And whatever you chew is known as agnihotra. Purport. The Vedavadis say that there is nothing more than the Vedas and the performances of sacrifice mentioned in the Vedas. They have recently made a rule in their group to formally observe daily sacrifice. They simply ignite a small fire and offer something whimsically, but they do not strictly follow the sacrificial rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedas. It is understood that by regulation there are different plates of sacrifice required, such as shrak, shrutva, barhis, chaturhotra, ida, chamasa, prasritra, Graha and Agnihotra. One cannot achieve the results of sacrifice unless one observes the strict regulations. In this age, there is practically no facility for performing sacrifices in strict discipline. Therefore, in this age of Kali, there is a stricture regarding such sacrifices. It is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Yajna and nothing more. The incarnation of the Supreme Lord is Yajneshvara, and unless one has respect for the incarnation of the Lord, he cannot perfectly perform sacrifice. In other words, taking shelter of the Lord and rendering service unto him is the factual performance of all sacrifices, as explained herein. Different places of sacrifice correspond to the different parts of the body of the Lord's incarnation. Period. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, it is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Yajna to please the Lord's incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This should be rigidly followed in order to achieve the result of Yajna performance. Om Agna Timidam Dasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakaram Ayam Dadati Swaparantikam. So we're hearing prayers of the sages. Text 34 began, all the sages uttered with great respect. So this is the third text of their prayers. So they're trying to glorify Lord Varaha. These sages are trying to glorify Lord Varaha by comparing different parts of his body to different plates of sacrifice. And these plates of sacrifice were something that is part of the whole Vedic ritualistic performance of sacrifice. So, you know, it's an attempt to glorify him. It's basically what they're saying is, you know, your body is so elevated, is so exalted, it's like, you know, these articles are, articles of sacrifice. So that's nice. You know, that that's what the metaphor is. Now, Prabhupada takes a totally different turn in his purport. Prabhupada doesn't elaborate upon their prayer in the purport, but he uses his purport as an opportunity to point out, to comment about Vedic sacrifice. And he starts off by saying, the Vedavadis, that's the who he kind of gives a working definition for who they are, they think there's nothing more than the Vedas and the performances of the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. They're mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Veda, Vada, Rata, part, that they're basically performing these sacrifices for the with their motivation is to achieve some sort of higher sense gratification in the material world. They're not particularly concerned about liberation, what to speak of, pure devotional service. So Prabhupada kind of criticizes them in the purport. He points out that they've kind of made a rule, he uses that expression, but they've kind of decided among themselves that they would observe these sacrifices just by having a daily sacrificial fire into which they whimsically offer something. But they don't follow strictly the rules and regulations. In other words, it's become a bit of a farce, because back in, you know, when the sages were offering these prayers, they knew about these sacrifices and they were able to perform them properly. You know, they had the ingredients. You know, they had the Brahmins who could properly chant the mantras. You know, they knew how to do it. Because unless you do it exactly correctly, you don't get the result. Okay? That's one point. And Prabhupada makes that point in his purport, that one cannot achieve the results of sacrifice unless one observes the strict regulations. But there's another point that he sort of alludes to here in the purport, that they're really not necessary, because if somebody is engaged in devotional service, they've already surpassed the necessity of performing Vedic sacrifices. It's actually a lower level of understanding of the whole, you know, Vedic body of knowledge, and that's explicitly stated by Lord Krishna himself in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Yavan arta udapane sarvata sampludodike tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. And the translation of that is, he says, just like all the purposes of the small ponds are served by the great reservoir of water, similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas are served by somebody who knows the purpose behind them. See, so in other words, when somebody's understood about devotional service, they've surpassed the necessity of karma, jnanakanda, what to speak of karmakanda. Actually, I think these sacrifices fall under the heading of karmakanda. So you've surpassed that. And in the purport to that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada quotes the famous verse spoken by, I believe, Devahuti, where she says, Aho bhatta swapako to garyan yat jiva gare vartate namatubhyam tapas tapas te juhuvu sashnor arya brahmanochur namagrananti yete. And she points out, I'll read it. Oh, my Lord, a person who is chanting your holy name, although born of a low family like that of Chandala, dog eater, is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices according to Vedic rituals and studied the Vedic literatures many, many times after taking his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan families. In other words, somebody who's engaged in devotional service, specifically, she's mentioned here, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, surpassed all that. They did it in the past. They did it in past lifetimes. Been there, done that, so to speak. No need to, you know, do it any longer. You've already done that. It's good. You passed that. Now on to devotional service. And then in the purport further, Prabhupada uses as a further reference, he refers to the encounter or the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Prakasananda Saraswati, who is more in the category of Jnanakanda, you know, the Mayavadi sannyasis, they're studying the Vedanta Sutra for the purpose of getting liberation. That's, you know, Jnanakanda. And so Lord Chaitanya had to point, because Prakasananda Saraswati inquired from Lord Chaitanya, why are you chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist? You're a sannyasi. Why aren't you studying the Vedanta Sutra like us? You know, and Lord Chaitanya had to explain to him that, you know, actually my spiritual master considered me a great fool. He said, you're not capable of studying the Vedanta Sutra, and your purpose will be served by just chanting the holy name of the Lord. So same point is being made there, that if somebody's able to engage favorably in devotional service, they've surpassed the necessity of, you know, engaging in Jnanakanda, Karmakanda, studying the Vedas, performing all these sacrifices. They're way beyond that. Okay, so that's a point that's kind of being made here by Prabhupada in his purport. So he goes on to say how he says, I'll just read that one sentence again. So one cannot achieve the results of sacrifice unless one observes the strict regulations. And in this age, there is practically no facility performing sacrifice in strict discipline. Okay, we kind of mentioned that. And he says, therefore, in this age of Kali, there is a stricture regarding such sacrifices. It is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Yajna and nothing more. Okay, so it's not like we're being recommended to give up Yajna or Yajna. Sacrifice means Yajna. That's the Yajna is a Sanskrit word for sacrifice. So it's not like we're being encouraged to give up Yajna. No, we're meant to perform Yajna, but not that Yajna, not that Yajna for elevation to heavenly planets or like that, but the Sankirtan Yajna. So what is sacrifice, though? Like, you know, what is meant by sacrifice? Well, I looked up in the dictionary the meaning of the word sacrifice. We're supposed to be performing it, so we should have a clear idea of what it is. And the definition I came up with was the act of giving up something which you consider valuable for the sake of a better cause. So that's kind of a combination of two definitions in the dictionary. The act of giving up something which you consider valuable for the sake of a better cause. So that's what we're meant to do. That's we're meant to perform the sankirtan yajna. We're meant to give up something which we consider valuable, like our time, our energy, resources like that, for the sake of a better cause. And that better cause is pleasing the Prampara, the Disciple Succession, ultimate Lord Chaitanya and his associates, by spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. That's the sacrifice that we're meant to be making. That is, in essence, the sankirtan yajna, or the sankirtan sacrifice, to give up something that you consider that's valuable to you, your time, your energy, your resources, to please Lord Chaitanya and his associates by trying to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's what we're meant to be doing. And that is... And we are doing that. We are doing that. We're all doing that. We're all sankirtan devotees. Everybody, this is Lord Chaitanya's sankirtan movement. And it's not that, it really is a team effort. And I've said this before, and other people, speakers have mentioned, made this point before, but I'd like to preface what I'm about to say by saying I'm not being patronizing. In what I'm about to say, you know, in case patronizing, I looked up the dictionary definition for that word too. And patronizing is when you're apparently speaking kindly while betraying a feeling of superiority, you know, displaying condescension toward a person in a way that arrogantly implies it's actually, yeah, anyway, it's like, you know, it seems as if you're glorifying, complimenting, or trying to help that person, but you're really kind of, no. When I say we're all doing sankirtan, you know, not just people who are distributing books, I really mean that. And I'm going to give a couple examples, you know, to that effect. Yesterday when I was on sankirtan, I was at Rio Hondo College. So I stopped this lady, and I offered her a couple of books, Bhagavad Gita, Science of Self-Realization. And she said, I've got those books. I said, oh, really? She said, where'd you get them? She said, I got them from you guys. I said, oh, okay. So I thought she meant, like, I didn't remember her. I didn't recognize her. She said, Satchitanoi, Prema, we all go there. So she said, yeah, and I'm reading them halfway through the Science of Self-Realization. I said, oh, wow. I said, you should come to the temple. She said, I'll go to the temple. I said, really? She said, how did you find out about the temple? I said, well, you told me about it. I said, and she looked at me and she said, don't you remember? I said, no. She said, she said, yeah, you gave me these books about a month ago. And I said, really? And I said, she said, yeah, you were here with another young guy. And she kind of almost remembered his name was Bhakti Kears. Hard name to remember, unusual name. So she stumbled and I said, oh, Kier? She said, yeah, that's it, Kier. So she's been coming. She's been coming to the temple. She's been here like three or four times. She made friends with some of the Matajis. She couldn't remember any names. But, you know, it gave me the realization that, yeah, I mean, I just obviously mechanically gave her some books, told her about the temple. So I did something, you know. But she's, of her own volition, she's been coming and she's been liking it. You know, she was really happy to meet me again. I gave her a Krishna book. She was happy to get it. And so, you know, it reminded me of that expression, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. So in other words, to paraphrase that, it takes a temple to raise a devotee. It's not one person's thing. It's not that just people who are distributing books are preaching and nobody else is preaching. No, the whole thing is preaching. You know, in as if she came here and all there was just like, nothing, you know, just a, you know, no temple, no devotees chanting and being friendly and the whole works, it would have ended right there for her. That would have been, you know, her Krishna conscious thing would have just been, experience would have been just getting the book and reading a little bit. So, but now she's really attracted, you know, I could see she's identifying herself to some extent as I'm one of you folks, you know, I'm part of that congregation. You know, she's reading, she's coming, like that. So, but that's you know, it takes everybody. It takes a temple to be here. It takes devotees to be coming to the temple and chanting and being friendly and the gift stuff and the restaurant, the whole works. So it really does, as in that saying goes, it really does take a village to raise a child, and it really does take a community to raise a devotee. So we're all, when you're participating in any aspect of what's going on here, you're participating in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. You're performing the Sankirtan Jagya, or the sacrifice, giving up something that's valuable to you, your time, your energy, your resources, your youth, like that, to help push on Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So any service you're doing here, is you're contributing to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. You're performing the Sankirtan Jagya, or the Sankirtan sacrifice. Okay? And one other example, which for me is even a stronger example, almost 50 years ago, in about 1 week, I got a teaching to Lord Chaitanya as I was coming home from doing some service at Amala Bhakta Maharaj's Hatha Yoga Ashram in Midtown Manhattan. It just so happened. And so I got that on a Friday, and then the next day I went back to the same place and got a Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the next day, because the devotee told me about it, I went to the Sunday feast. And then the next day, I came back and joined the temple. So the thing was this, that when I went to the Sunday feast, that was my very first time going to the temple, I was impressed. I mean, I liked what I'd read in the book already. I liked what I read in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And the reason I got the Bhagavatam the next day is because I wanted to see if it was just that book or all these books good. So I went back to the same place. I met a different devotee, and he gave me the Bhagavatam, and I said, no, this book's good too. I like this one as well. So I went to the temple the next day, and when I went to the temple, I was impressed. I was impressed by how the devotees looked. They looked really healthy, bright face, like Prabhupada would say. They seemed really, in the kirtan, they were really dancing very enthusiastically. They were very friendly in general. Practically everybody's friendly. One devotee chastised me for not eating the prasadam right away, but that's okay. But in general, they were very friendly, and that's what got me to want to come back. A part of the reason, anyway, I can clearly remember the different individuals, who they were and how they spoke to me, and just how friendly and kind and encouraging they were. So yeah, I experienced that, and then I came back, and by Krishna's mercy, but through the agency of all his devotees, I got the opportunity to kind of become part of the Krishna conscious movement. So definitely, that's my own, it's my understanding and it's my own personal experience that definitely it takes a community, it takes a temple, it takes a whole, sangha to make a devotee. It's not just one person's business, it's not one book's business, it's a sangha. Okay, so everybody agree with that? Okay, good. Now, we've got to take a little step further here, okay. So what does it take to create a sangha? In other words, we've all agreed now that it takes a sangha to create a devotee, to raise a devotee, okay? But what does it take to create a sangha? Well, we heard that. We heard a very good, one very important aspect of it, I think it was yesterday morning, Tuesday morning, when we read from the Bhagavatam after the Mangalarti, and I'll read what was read then. This is something, a very important aspect of what's required to have a sangha that will create devotees, okay? So Prabhupada says this from the seventh canto, I think it's fifth chapter, text 12. He says, everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service, but in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. And this is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. See? So that understanding has to be there. The understanding has to be there, and then we have to put that understanding into practice. And when we put that understanding, what we just heard, when we actually start, first of all, you got to understand it. You got to have it as a intellectual concept in your head that this is what's, how it's supposed to be. Then you've got to try to put it into practice. And when we do that, the atmosphere will be transformed. You know, the atmosphere will be transformed into what Prabhupada says here, Vaikuntha. To the degree that we actually buy into this understanding here and put it into practice, we will create a Vaikuntha atmosphere here in the community. And when people come, they'll pick up on it. They pick up on it, you see? And they'll feel, this is a place I want to be. These are the kind of people I want to be among. And this is the kind of place I want to be. I want to be doing these things. I want to be here with these people. It's nice. I like it. See, so that's a very important understanding. And that's, of course, further nurtured is that verse in the Nectar of Instruction, which I neglected to quote a couple of weeks ago when we had the devotee care class. But Dadati Pratigyanati Guyam Akyati Prichati Bhunkte Bhonjayate Chaiva Sadvidi Pritilakshanam. That devotees are supposed to, offer gifts, receive gifts, reveal their mind. Guyam Akyati Prichati, reveal their mind and confidence, inquire confidentially, reveal their mind and confidence. Dadati Pratigyanati. Offer food stuff, offer prasadam, accept prasadam like that. So by these practical activities, this kind of attitude, this kind of mood is fostered. You know, it helps create that. And if you do it, you experience it. You could practically experience it. You could practically experience the pleasure of offering prasadam to a devotee, accepting. It really works. You know, these are things that really work. So by doing that, we'll create that sort of atmosphere which is conducive for, people, the kind of energy that's required to help people become devotees. So, okay, I think I could stop there. Does anybody have any questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. You were mentioning in the beginning of the class about the point that's made that the one who's practicing devotional service in this life has undergone all the other sort of Vedic rituals and stages and sacrifices and stages of life, and otherwise they wouldn't have come to the devotional platform or devotional service. Like you said, okay, done, did that, now time to move on to the next thing, which is devotional service. And there's that interesting pastime with Prabhupada where the devotees referenced this concept to Prabhupada. They said, oh, so Prabhupada, I guess we've undergone all these different stages of life and now we've finally come to devotional service. And Prabhupada said, no, I've created your good fortune.
Yeah, correct.
So I'm just wondering how to reconcile these two things, because, of course, we can't throw out what the Shastra is saying, and at the same time, we have to take seriously what Prabhupada is saying. So I'm wondering how we can reconcile these two apparent contradictory statements.
Oh, I should just get his hand. You want to say something? Well, I don't think they're contradictory. I think both things could be there. I mean, we might have had a little contact with devotional service in our past, but maybe not enough to warrant us getting the opportunity to engage in devotional service. But I think it's best to probably be in the humble state of mind, thinking that I'm getting causeless mercy. I don't deserve this. Maybe I was a dog in my past life and I had some leftover Mahaprasadam or something like that someplace. But, by the causeless mercy of the spiritual master, I've been given the opportunity to come in contact with devotional service. So let me, take advantage of it and make good on this opportunity. So, Archana, you want to add to that?
It's not just It's not just a one-time shot. We've been here Anadi Karamapale since endless time, which means you've cycled through practically every station, starting from Brahma down to Worm and Stool. You've been everything. So where is there a difficulty to understand that you've been Yogic Brahmana in some previous life? Or, you know, you've done it all. So when you finally Brahmanda Brahmita Konya Bhagavanji, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. When you finally get the Bhakti Lata from a guru, yes, the guru is creating your good fortune to go forward, but that doesn't negate the fact that you've been through everything else, starting from Brahma all the way down to Worm and Stool. You've experienced it all. So where is it difficult to accept that you've been a yogic brahmana, you've been a, you know, whatever, you've been all those things?
Mm-hmm. Another question, yeah.
So, yeah, in the purport, Prabhupada stating that it's only by Sankirtan Yajna and all other yajnas of this age basically are not very useful. So I'm just wondering, why do we do fire sacrifices during the, you know, celebration days of different incarnations?
Yeah. Well, I asked Rabindranath about that because I was wondering the very same thing back many years ago. And what he explained to me was that his observation was that a lot of times people come on those days in particular, and, you know, they're just hanging around, talking with each other. They're not in the temple room necessarily, you know, in a kirtan or doing service. So it was a way, something he devised to get everybody participating and focused something on, you know, something more Krishna conscious. And it seems to work, to be honest with you. I mean, if you notice on these days when he does those yajnas, everybody seems to go over there and swaha, and they like to do it. And they're chanting, and they're all there, and it's good, you know. But it's not something Prabhupada introduced. We weren't doing it when Prabhupada was with us, but, you know, you judge a process by the result. So it seems to be creating a good result. We had Sachi had his hand up first, and then we'll go to Archidia.
Yeah, Prabhu, I came across with this verse many times before, and it called my attention, Bhagavad Gita 7:12, where Krishna said, but it is who? I'm the ritual. I, the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. So Krishna is everything in there. He's the fire, he's the priest, he's the offering, he's the butter, the ghee. Everything. Mm. If we actually understand that we are, that Krishna is in every little thing, you want to be there. So, regardless, I honor the whatever has been said before. Of course, Prabhupada says that this is the most important thing. At the same time, I'm thinking, at least myself, that if Krishna is in everything, why not? Why I don't want to be there? But if in the ocean, I might take the risk myself. Oh, yeah, I done already that. I've been there. That's for them. It's not for me. I am here now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is a risk that a neophyte devotee might come to the conclusion, and even, you know, this is for the Veda Vada Ratha, you know, followers. But actually, as a practitioner, every little thing that we have here is very meaningful. And of course, some of us, we have some tendencies for abilities or skills for a particular service that we focus, and then we do that. And we would like everybody to do that. Like the cook, he would like everybody to come and assist because it's so important to be in the kitchen, to cook for the Lord. And the one who's doing the yagya, he would like everybody to come and do something to glorify the Lord. So now, my conclusion of this is that actually, Srila Prabhupada mentioned at one time, there's no need for all these rituals, provided the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is there. And this is the example that we get from the temple in the inauguration of Vrindavan.
Yeah.
He did it for... But it's still, what myself, at least I'm thinking like that, this is just my personal opinion maybe, that I want to be there. If Krishna is the fire, Krishna is the priest, Krishna is the offering, Krishna is everything, I want to be in that atmosphere. And that can help me to my service, whatever service I'm doing. So,
nice.
Can you say something?
Yeah. Well, Archie just burning to say something, so I will.
But by that logic, Krishna is also the dacoit. Krishna is also the lion. We don't go and preach to lions. So we have to be careful about that. But in terms of the sacrifice, Prabhupada showed both things. On most appearance days that I remember, and you can see in the Lilamrita, Prabhupada said the devotees should come together and recite the pastimes like Lord Ramachandra. There's a statement where he said that. On Lord Ramachandra's appearance day, you come together, you recite his pastimes up until evening, and then you can break the fast, just like we do on Gopurnima, he said. So that was the sample example that he set. On appearance days, devotees should come together and read, hear about that particular incarnation of the Lord. But the very first fire sacrifice was also performed by Srila Prabhupada. When was that? The first initiation. Prabhupada could have just given the names and given the beads, but he performed a fire sacrifice. He made the devotees go out and get the paraphernalia, and they were in an apartment, and the place was filling up with smoke. So Prabhupada set both examples, that you can achieve it just by hearing about a particular incarnation. The fire yoga is not absolutely necessary, but at the same time, again, for initiation, he could have just given the names, chanted on the beads, but he performed a fire sacrifice.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really interesting point. Amla Bhakti Maharaj wanted to say something.
There's a point that has to be carefully, seriously considered. And that is when you have sacrifices and you have celebrations. They can be done in two different ways. They can be done with indifference, with uncaringness, with thoughtlessness, just doing it as a mechanical exercise. And many people do it that way. It can also be done with love, with affection, with dedication and devotion, and feeling that this is a very valuable experience because it's putting me in touch with, in close proximity with, the Supreme Lord. So when we actually realize the true value of these sacrifices, that I'm getting closer to Krishna in this activity, then what happens is I begin to become more loving of the Supreme Lord because I begin to feel that value. What is that value? The joyfulness, the peacefulness, the upliftingness, all of this, and the coming together with one purpose, namely to glorify God and do it together in such a way that everyone is benefited and the Lord is pleased as a result. So the most important thing is that whatever we do, it should always be done with feeling, with love, with the feeling of appreciation, value. And when we do it with that idea, it has true meaning. If we don't do it that way, but just do it as a mechanical exercise, then it doesn't have hardly any meaning because there's no love being imparted from the devotee to the Supreme Lord. So this is very important. It's a question we all have to ask. Am I expressing, am I appreciating, am I feeling love for Krishna now, or am I just doing this? And if we're just doing this, then we should sit back and say, well, why should we just do it? Why don't we do it with our whole heart and soul and realize that the food, the clothing, shelter, health, strength, guidance, direction, all that's being given by God's grace. Well, if it is, then why don't I show appreciation for it and do this with feeling rather than just as a mechanical exercise, as if I'm just getting it finished and that ends. So that's the main point I wanted to
make. Yeah, thank you. Excellent comment. Anybody else, anything? Okay, thank you very much. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
class tomorrow.
Afternoon. I'm not sure what it says. Initiation says 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
It says in the paper.